Chapter 3, The Divine Pattern. Let's look into the spiritual history of words to better understand my encounter with Jesus and why he would spend time emphasizing the use of words. There are laws working today that God set in motion at the very beginning of time that are recorded in the book of Genesis. Understanding what is already at work in our world will help us know how to operate on the earth as spiritual beings. We enter into the supernatural realm when we honor and utilize spiritual laws that were created and used by God. The laws of the natural world govern our physical existence, but some laws can be transcended by more powerful ones. Higher laws supersede lower ones. For example, gravity is a law. However, the laws of lift and thrust can supersede gravity by overcoming it. We enjoy flight because there is a higher law than gravity. The same rule applies to supernatural laws. We should not deny the natural way of things on earth. However, we should recognize that the Spirit of God and His Word can reveal a higher law, one that supersedes earthly realities. When spoken in faith by the Holy Spirit, our words can have the power to change things. Words can take you into your answers, your destiny, by making it possible for the supernatural to overcome things in the natural. The book of Hebrews tells us that during creation, all things were created with words. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Hebrews 11:3. Also, we know that it was Jesus, the Son of God, through whom God acted as Creator. God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Hebrews 1:2. Let's go back to the book of beginnings, Genesis, to see the actual account. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Genesis 1:1-3. From Genesis 1:3, we learn that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This tells us that the Holy Spirit is ready to respond to the commands of God spoken through His Word, Jesus Christ. When God begins to speak, the heavens stand at attention. In the supernatural sphere, every created thing is ready to respond to the voice of God. Notice that after God speaks, whatever He says immediately happens. When it came time for Adam to be created, a very powerful detail emerges that explains why Jesus told me that my words are important. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Genesis 1:26. You have probably heard many times that God made man in His likeness. But have you considered what happened to that likeness when Adam sinned? Obviously, mankind lost some of its likeness to God. We were no longer sinless or immortal. However, Jesus, through His sacrificial death, bought us restoration, both spiritually and physically. The Bible calls Jesus the second Adam and tells us that He has gone before us into the Holy of Holies. In the book of Genesis, we see that God came down to visit with Adam and Eve in the garden, Genesis 3:8-9. God and man had an open, unhindered, and intimate relationship. They were one. Jesus, when conceived by the Holy Spirit, became the second Adam, and He was given the same glory that Adam had before sinning. Because of our relationship with Jesus through the new birth, we are recipients of His glory. In fact, Jesus said, "And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one." John 17:22. We share in His glory, but we have to learn how to let it shine through us. The Holy Spirit is within us and upon us to lead us into a life of glory. By spending time with God in prayer and the fellowship of His Word, we learn His ways. By meditating on the Word, we eat of heavenly manna and feed our souls, which increases our capacity to shine in a dark world. See John 6:41. It is amazing that the modern world, despite all its scientific advancements, has so little understanding of mankind, its creator, and the supernatural realm. However, God clearly has given us all that we need through Jesus Christ, including the opportunity to participate in the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4 puts it like this, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Also note these scriptures. And so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Colossians 3:10. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. 2 Corinthians 13:4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3:1-3. Jesus discussed words with me at length during this visitation, because he has set up a dominion that operates by certain spiritual laws and principles. It is called the kingdom of God. I have learned that if you follow these principles and respect the kingdom laws, you will not have to plead for spiritual power and blessings. You simply request access to the provisions that have already been made available to you through the name of Jesus. A study of the word ask in the New Testament will reveal that it has a far stronger meaning than we think. In English, asking is akin to begging. However, the Greek word for ask can also be translated as requiring what is owed. We know that if the God of the universe wants to give us something and has already deposited it into our account, we don't have to ask him for it again and again or demand things of him. What we must do is place a demand on our heavenly account and make a withdrawal while binding any hindrances in the earth realm, which is under the influence of Satan and his minions. We can command them to stop obstructing what God has purposed for us. You see, everything on the earth is not in submission to God as of yet. We must bring correction to that which is not submitted by speaking and demanding evil forces to yield to God's will. Placing a demand causes a release of the kingdom of God into the situation, whatever it might be. Mark 11:23-26 is one of my earthly assignments that I have been charged to teach and live by. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. The fact is, every believer is called to live the life described in these verses. More than you can even imagine is possible for you if you will only believe that the things you say will be done. I remember when my wife and I started practicing the verses concerning speaking to a mountain. We decided that God wanted us to become debt-free, so we started speaking to our debt mountain. From 2000 to 2008, we proclaimed that we were debt-free and commanded debt to get out. Soon our debt began to disappear. In 2008, the only debt we had left was our mortgage payment. Obviously, we were careful not to create more debt and did everything we could in the natural to pay off the debt, but we also received supernatural assistance. At that point, the Lord told me to pay a person's mortgage payment for them. I remember thinking I would never pay off my own mortgage if I kept handing out money to others to pay theirs. Actually, in a way, I was right. We didn't pay off our mortgage. God did. Someone left us enough money in a will to pay off our mortgage in February of 2008. Speak to your mountains. God's word really does perform just as he says it will. God would not have put those verses in the Bible if he did not want us to practice them. In Mark 9:23, Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." So what is the problem? Why are we not seeing this truth manifested in our lives as it should be? During this visitation, I realized something about Jesus that I want to share with you on the subject of forgiveness. We must forgive. Do not allow the enemy to trap you into holding on to offenses. Jesus wants you to be offense-free in this life. He has come to make you free. See John 8:36. Hurtful experiences can entangle us in bitterness. Jesus wants us to know that the enemy does this to people because he knows that unforgiveness hinders their ability to receive from God. God knows we have been wronged, yet he still requires us to forgive. Once we truly forgive, he can answer our prayers. Faith is of the heart, but so is unforgiveness, and it hinders our faith. The enemy will use anything and anyone to disqualify our prayers. We cannot stay hooked into what the Spirit of God is doing if we have offenses that have developed into bitterness. When we are wronged, we cannot reverse the facts or successfully deny them. We can only forgive them. Forgiveness unhooks you from a curse so that God can bless you in amazing ways. Don't spend another day allowing offenses to hinder your prayers. If Jesus could forgive while suffering the torment of crucifixion, you can forgive in your situation too. When the disciples could not get their prayers answered, they asked Jesus why. He replied, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Matthew 17:20. Words are important, as I found out from Jesus' opening statement during his visitation with me. We can actually curse ourselves with our words. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. James 1:26. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. James 3:2, 6, and 9-10. You now know the truth. So it is your move. Control your words and forgive, or ignore the truth and continue to be hindered in your prayers. I have had several huge financial miracles happen to me as a result of words. Upon graduating from high school, I gave my life to Christ. At that time, I sincerely felt that I wanted to give everything to him. At a church service shortly after my salvation experience, I wrote a check to the church for every penny I had. I felt that this would express my total commitment to the Lord. I told him that I would never worry about finances again because he now had all my money. A year later, I went away to college with only a $100 bill in my pocket that I had received from an elderly woman at a prayer meeting I had attended. That paid for my transportation to college. Now I had to believe for a job at college to pay for my tuition and other needs. Upon arrival, I applied for scholarships and grants, but I still desperately needed a job. I applied to be a dishwasher in the college cafeteria. However, they told me that 30 people had applied before me and that they would be hired ahead of me. I was very disappointed. After applying, I went to the cafeteria for lunch. While I was eating my meal, the manager of the cafeteria came to my table. He asked if my name was Kevin, and I replied yes. He then told me that if I would go with him and begin washing dishes without delay, he would hire me ahead of the 30 people who preceded me on the list. I left my food on the table, followed him to the work area, and started washing dishes with a big smile on my face. I had a job. Later, I received grants from the government for some of my expenses. After that, I received my credit hours per semester. Of course, this also increased my school bill. I was praying about that when I ran into a professor in the phys ed locker room. I had favor with him because I had beaten the school record in two athletic events. He asked me if I needed anything. I replied that he could believe with me for my college tuition to be paid. He answered, "Oh, that's easy. I don't need to pray about that. I'll take care of that." The next day, I received a call from the financial office telling me that I had received another grant. I therefore decided to take classes during the summer as well, so my costs went up again. My bills skyrocketed so much that the university warned me that I would have to sit out a semester or two until the debt was paid. After receiving that warning, I was at a friend's house who had a wonderful painting of Jesus on the wall. While pointing at the painting of Jesus, I told him that I had left everything for him and knew he wanted to pay off my school bills. It seemed like a lot of money at the time, but I knew he wanted to do it for me. When I spoke those words aloud, I knew they were true and that I was merely voicing the truth. It is not enough to know something is true. You have to speak it out in words because your words release God's will on the earth. A few weeks after this incident, I got a call from the registrar's office asking me to visit them. I was well aware that the purpose of this appointment could be to ask me to leave college until I paid my bill. However, when I arrived, the registrar handed me a copy of my school bill with "paid in full" written on it. As I sat there listening to the story of how that happened, it became apparent that Jesus had performed a miracle for me. The university's financial department was deeply touched by what God had done on my behalf. The registrar told me that a businessman had contacted them looking for a student with a peculiar last name. God had brought my face before the businessman, as well as my name, during prayer and told him to pay off my school bills. He called all the universities in the city, asking for a student with my last name, which he didn't know how to pronounce, until he finally found my college. The man did not have a clear understanding of why he was doing this. He was simply being obedient to God. The man drove over to my campus and wrote a check for the full amount of my debt, but he requested that I never be told his name. Jesus desires everyone on earth to understand what he has done for them. And it is so much more than many Christians can comprehend. Yes, he saved us from hell and damnation and gave us eternal life, but he also made possible a life of meaning and purpose while we are on the earth. Jesus said it like this in John 10:10, "The robber comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came so that they might have life, a great full life." God wants you to begin to take hold of your earthly destiny by beginning to speak the truth about yourself and others. We have been born anew in His image, and we have been given a powerful quickening spirit, 1 Corinthians 15:45. Jesus is saying, "Yield to me," and begin speaking out and prophesying to your world. You can bring correction to your circumstances as you yield and express the truth found in God's Word. Speak it out, and you will see correction come. Everything in all of creation was made by His words, is sustained by His words, and responds to His words. See Psalm 103:20. Jesus wants us to participate in the divine nature. As His sons and daughters, we need to find out what is involved in being a son or daughter. Although we want all that God has for us, many of us have found that something we can't identify is holding us back. In the next part of my heavenly encounter, Jesus began showing me things that were keeping me from reaching my maximum potential.